Okay. So, hi everybody. My name is Antonio. Thank you for coming to the Pipeline with Jenkins and From Legacy to Delivery talk. Thank you, Microsoft, for organizing this. Special thanks to João Almeida, who's very involved with the DevOps community here in Lisbon. And good to see that not everybody's going for Kubernetes and all that sexiness stuff. If you see something you like, please share. I think it adds to the buzz and everybody will start talking about what we want to talk. So let's get to it. Why Jenkins? It's been around for a while. You've got loads of talks today about CoreOS, Kubernetes, Docker. You've got loads of talks about serverless, where you have cloud functions. You've got AWS Lambda. You also have some people about talking about deployment and the configuration management tools. And why did I choose to talk about Jenkins today when I've got all this fun stuff to talk about? And we also use some of it, so keep with me on this. Because for me, it's all about delivery, and that's what Jenkins usually does. All the tools I showed before, they're really interesting. They're very good for ops, but I think the hard part is actually getting from dev to ops. You can actually do a lot of dev and a lot of spinning up environments with the tools that I showed you before, but you can't really determine which environment you want to deploy into. And you've got to think about the pipeline. So, in many cases, it's really easy to deploy. It's really easy to get to the ops part when it's a tutorial, when it's your own cluster, when it's your own Docker swarm, whatever it is. But sometimes, and if you think about legacy specifically, it's really stressful. It's stressful because you've got to go through different environments. You've got to go through different test suites. You've got to do lots of work. And still, after going all through all those hoops, the deployment didn't work. So what's the problem here? It's not the tools. It's not the ops. It's the pipeline. So what do people usually do, even when they have these environments they go through, these hoops and bounds they go through? Well, they try and set up a continuous delivery pipeline. And what's the importance of setting up a good continuous delivery pipeline? Well, the idea is that you're going to test what you were testing with the environments. You're going to test how the environments are going to be spun up. And you're going to test how to have a better quality when deploying the software. It's not just testing the software. It's testing the environment you're working it on. So let's start with the criticisms. Let's start with the problems we start facing, especially when we're talking to legacy people. Well, that's only for cloud. Well, yeah, that's true. But cloud does work on operating systems. Cloud is deployed on infrastructure. So we can use cloud as simple infrastructure. We can use EC2. We can use just the simple VMs in Azure. We can do lots of things here. So the next criticism comes in. And that criticism is, well, it's only for web. Well, yeah. Other than embedded systems, you're still deploying on operating systems. And you're still developing in some way for someone that's going to have a user interface. It doesn't matter if it's web or not. So this is a pattern that I call the Houston, I have many problems. And it's easy to stop here and say, it's never going to work. And that's not what we want. We want to start by defining the problem and choosing a tool that will help us chip away at it. So let's define the problem. What's the real problem behind this? I mean, we still deliver on top of operating systems, right? So other than Docker, that's kind of abstracting away the operating system part of it, you're still going to have to know which version of the operating system you're using. If you're using an LTS, if you're using a repository that's actually curated by someone so you don't find broken dependencies and stuff like that, you're still managing your own infrastructure. And this one here is kind of debatable because it's you're not really managing your own infrastructure in the cloud per se because it's not the infrastructure. You're managing the VMs, but let's say it's the same thing to make it easier. And you can still do this on your network. Now, you can set up a network on the cloud, or you can set up a network in your own environments. And this comes to the next point, which is we can control it, okay? This is usually the problem when you're going from legacy to a continuous delivery pipeline. They've said it's cloud, they've said it's web. What they're actually saying is we need to control this. We want to understand what we're doing. It's a big shift. So what do we propose? Before I get into the tool, into Jenkins and the continuous integration tools that are now continuous delivery pipelines enablers, let's see how we can solve this in terms of this open source versus cloud, or this cloud, this closed source versus open source. So let's imagine that open source gives us more control, right? So instead of going straight to cloud, let's try and do it in our own infrastructure. Let's try and use something like Jenkins. You can look at the source. If it doesn't solve your problem, you can probably change it. You can probably operate it. Or probably you just don't want to go there because it takes too long and you decide, well, cloud's easier. Okay? But what's the importance here of open source? And it's that you need the three freedoms that usually come with free software, which is not necessarily the same thing as open source, which is you need the freedom to operate it. Now, I can't imagine you can operate Azure on your own computer or data center. That would be interesting. But you can change it. Well, yeah. You can't really change the cloud infrastructure. They have their own pipeline. And you can redistribute it. Okay, so Jenkins meets all these criteria and other open source tools too. Also, be aware of the licenses, because if you start changing stuff, some of the licenses will make you have to propagate that. That's actually probably a good thing, but still analyze that. Cloud, as the opposite. Well, we can't control it. We can use it, it's really good. It abstracts away a lot of problems, but we can't really change it and operate it to suit our needs. So it's a dichotomy. The other ones, you can invest time to make things suit your needs. With cloud, you kind of have to use different services and chip away at it at a different level. So be aware of vendor lock-in. Be aware of using S3. Be aware of using, you've heard this before probably. If you put your solutions on that, it's not different from putting them on Jenkins and your own developed code. Difference is, because you're not free to operate it, you're not free to change it, you're not free to redistribute it, it can be taken away from you. Now here I'll refer to an example that worked, well, happened with me, but I'm actually kept on using the cloud provider, which is, anyone here know Docker Cloud, the service? Okay, cool, that guy's with me. So it was Tutum before. Did you use it before it was bought?
Yes.
Okay, cool, so it was free forever, right? Yeah, until it was bought. That's exactly the problem. So that was the lock-in, right? So I didn't have the code on my side, so I'm still using it, and I use it every day, it's really good. And I'm willing to pay for it because it solves a lot of problems I don't want to solve developing on my own. So this is what I want to get at. Bad open source, good cloud. Let's not look at things like that. Let's understand that each one has its problems, right? So here we go. People that develop on NPM probably felt this. React used a library that used a library that used this library. I think it was that degree of dependency. And someone decided to take it away from a public repository. Now, this could be solved by having your own repository, right? It's open source. You can operate it. You can proxy it. So this is not really a problem. You need to understand that this can happen to get those measures in place, to get Jenkins to deploy your artifacts to your local repository, to think about your delivery pipeline. I'm depending on other people. Let's bring it here. Same way I'm depending on a cloud service in some scenarios. So this is an example of how bad open source can go. This is a good example of how cloud can come, and this is what Docker Cloud is doing, and it was doing before it was Docker Cloud, which is bring your own node. Bring your own infrastructure, in a sense. Doesn't really matter where it operates. There are some problems with networking here that you need to think about. But again, they're looking in the right direction, which is let's not lock out what people already develop, their open source solutions. Another good example of cloud, well, we're here, so might as well talk about this. The title is self-explaining. I suggest you take a read. This is a good solution if you're still going from legacy to cloud and you're still not completely sure. This is a good way to start. Just make the network kind of go, put some VPNs up, see if it works. Doesn't work for scale services, but it's a good entry point. And then this is another interesting entry point, which brings it back to where I'm getting at with Jenkins, which is I'm using open source, I'm using Jenkins to start and build a delivery pipeline for my legacy system. The fact that I'm investing in Jenkins doesn't close out the possibility to go cloud. Of course, it's not perfect, but you've got this, and VSTS is a brilliant example of this. They integrate with, I mean, you say Jenkins, you can say GoCD. You can say, well, Travis, not really, because it's usually for open source, but you can say any continuous integration server. Invest in it. Build your pipeline. Don't go into the Houston, we have many problems mentality. Start by chipping away at it with a server that you can then integrate with your cloud provider or in your own infrastructure. So let's refocus on delivery, which was the main theme of the talk. What are the actual contributing key points for delivery? Well, it's not, like we've seen before, it's not the fact that it's for cloud, it's for web. No, it's your architecture that matters, right? And I've been told that if I say architecture to this crowd, I'll lose you all. So I'll use an example. If you're scaling your web servers, right, but you still have a database behind it for some reason, doesn't matter if it's NoSQL, whatever, and it's just one instance, well, you can scale the web servers all you want. Your bottleneck is there. So you can take cloud, you get the cloud promise by scaling the web servers, but then your database doesn't really scale because you're not using their services, or because you haven't set up the troublesome task of setting up a cluster of databases, and that's really hard work, right? And you don't want to take that to the cloud because you've already invested that in your own systems. So what's really important about architecture is to think about that, is how are you going to take advantage of the tools you're using? Because otherwise, if you're not going to do it, just keep using what you're using. Use one big crate or one big data center, doesn't matter. But let's get to the next point. You can still have benefits. You can have a pipeline. So what's the pipeline? Usually in this pipeline, let's talk about traditional pipeline. You have a developer that hands over code, testers or directly to operators if it's already tested. It depends on what your team structure is. But this pipeline takes a lot of time because it's people dependent, so it takes a lot of synchronization. So just by setting up this in an environment like Jenkins, you can have a faster pipeline, okay? So this is the real contributing factor for continuous delivery. It's not the fact that it's cloud. It's not the fact that it's every day. It's the fact that you can automate it. I mean, it can take 3 days. It's still continuous delivery, right? The size of the deployment is also very important. If you have to wait for every single package and you don't break it up, well, your weakest chain is going to be the time you take to deliver the ones that are faster. So this is, again, this is the important part for continuous delivery. How many versions are supported? This is about team capacity. So if you want to get to continuous delivery, try and not support a lot of versions. Try to get everybody on your own version. Now, this criticism usually is, oh, this is for web because you only support one version. Well, you can actually have continuous delivery of several versions. It's more computing cost. It's more synchronization cost, but you can have it. You can also test if they can all operate on the same version, right? And this is easier because you won't have your team stuck in support. Dependencies and licensing. Okay, we've talked about dependencies in code, but there's also dependencies in environments, right? Don't do a continuous delivery pipeline that depends on environments. I mean, even if you've done the automation, you've done the re-architecting and all the other good stuff that you're going to benefit from, just don't use environments. Think of them as configurations. So I'm sending this to this, well, I don't know, cloud, or to this virtual machine, or to this VMware server, or to actually this farm of servers that's actually my data center and that live forever. But think about it as I'm applying these different configurations and then I'm tearing them down. So I'm going through the stages, but not through the environments. It doesn't matter if I'm environment QA or prod. It's the configuration that makes it be QA or prod. This is really important also. So again, why Jenkins? Well, Jenkins has been around for a while, and that means it's got a lot of plugins. I can spin up basically any VM I want on any cloud. I can spin up any agent I want on any computer. I mean, we've deployed in computers that have been there for probably 2-3 years, but they've got loads of RAM and they don't really use it anymore. And we said, well, okay, let's use it. We don't need to go cloud. And Jenkins has got loads of plugins for that. So that's one of the good things. It solves more than just being the build server. Like I said, it's evolving into pipelines. And the new version shows that a lot. And it's also centralizing different problems it's solving. It's thinking about provisioning also. But it's not native, but you've got loads of plugins that give you that. Jenkins is a delivery pipeline enabler. Well, I've just said that, so let's move on. And as a cloud transition stepping stone, I think this is very important because this is actually what we felt in practice, is that as soon as you get a build server and you transform it into a continuous delivery pipeline, it becomes easier for teams to start going cloud. We've had this happen where we've set up a build server that was actually also deploying artifacts on a team that had everything in their own infrastructure. So they had, I said, they had their own GitLab server, the community edition. They were very open source oriented, but everything in their own infrastructure. Nobody had external access. So what happens? We set up this with their, this was the case of the old machine. It worked nicely. 6 months later, we're talking to them and they've gone cloud because they'd already transitioned. They'd done the hard work in their own infrastructure. They used their legacy, well, it wasn't really legacy system in certain parts because they were kept upgrading the version they were using. And they just went, well, let's use the cloud. It's easier. And again, open source enabled this. So let's talk delivery pipelines. I hope I've come across with the idea that there's no such thing as a dev pipeline. It's a delivery pipeline. It's very different. You're delivering to environments. You're delivering the configuration of these environments. And you're shipping software or you're shipping product service. You're not shipping software because you can ask someone to operate it. Then you're shipping software. But that doesn't happen nowadays. It doesn't matter if you're cloud-based or not. You give them executables. You install it for them. You give them all the support they need to have it operating. They don't want your software. They want your service. So, and again, if you don't have your pipelines where you apply these installations, why do you expect people to use your installation? I mean, you're the devs. You're doing this development. Your pipeline ends with the source code. Doesn't end with the operating environment. Doesn't end with installing. So how much trust do you have on that if you don't use it? Well, that's a big problem. You should at least put it in your pipeline. You should also use it every day, but that's for another talk. So what will a good pipeline do? It will validate the software stability. This is internal and external. So external is going to be your functionalities. Internal is going to be your technical debt. It's going to assess all that for you. So you don't have to do it every day and do it in a manual way. It's going to validate the intended operational environment because it's going to run the install. It's going to run the configurations on the server. So if something breaks, it might not break because of the software. It will break because of the assumptions of the operating system and the software that it's used, that it's going to operate on. So this will also signal a problem there. It will version artifacts and automate version updates. This is ideal because it will make you move on and have point in times for your developments. And this is especially important for teams that have grown to a point where they depend on each other. Okay, so you have people developing in one code base, people developing in another. You can't expect them to pull their code bases together. There has to be someone that centralizes all this. And you deliver software, with or without manual intervention, doesn't matter. Continuous delivery doesn't mean that you have to deliver. It means that it's got to be ready to deliver. You just get there and you click it. That's the idea. You don't have manual intervention, except for the clicking point. And it also provides predictability and rebuildability. So if you're advancing versions, you can always come back to them. And this comes back to the supported versions. And Jenkins is quite good at this with some Artifactories. So I won't bore you too much. Let's talk about demo pipelines. This is a really simple pipeline. But the point I want to come across is, and hopefully I'll show you this on my machine at the moment, because we have a test that's failing, and for good reason. But this is the pipeline that you need as a minimum. So basically, it's a pipeline that you do the build and test. That's, everybody does that. It doesn't matter to talk about that. You do the integration to mainline. So this is, it depends on the maturity you're at, but this is basically pushing to master if you're doing a master deploy, and advancing artifacts if you're also versioning your artifacts. Okay, and then you have a clean deploy. And of course, this is sequential. But some teams, when they're supporting multiple versions and upgrades between versions, they have a vertical line there where they do the migration jobs. So they try. So we've just put out a new version. We want to see all the supported versions, how they migrate to it. And this is the pipeline that you need to set up. So what's the common factor here with all I've said? We're always using Jenkins. It advances the code and the artifacts through the pipeline. It's one path to production where you can automatically build, publish artifacts, test infrastructure, test deployments, or you could do what I said in the beginning, which is, well, you can go straight to the ops. You can go straight to the Kubernetes. That's testing in production. That's really weird. And for legacy systems, not everybody's prepared for that. So let's do a demo. So the demo we're going to see here, and I'm going to fire up code. Okay, it's really, really simple. So let me see if I can do this practically like this. I need to fire it up. Maybe I do. I'll probably do. So, this is a simple web page. Yes, I went with web. It's not a legacy system. And I hope I come across with this. So, first point of entry is this. This is my operational infrastructure. So before I even develop anything, I start by using infrastructure as code. That's the new sexy term. But I'm using a really old infrastructure as code, which is Vagrant. So how many people have worked with Vagrant? Okay, so I don't need to take too long here. So you'll understand what's here. I'm basically allowing, I have some complexity here where I'm using Hyper-V because I'm in Windows and it's Windows Pro. I hope Hyper-V comes to the masses. And the Jenkins pipeline and other developers are using LXC. Now, you'll see that some of them are using different, that we're actually using different images, and this is a dependency. This is a problem. We're not building this dependency. So I have no idea what's in that operating system. This is okay for this demo, but it's not okay if it's your legacy system, okay? Because I have no idea how that was built. It might work, it might not work. I don't have enough control. Now, I'm not sure on which one of them actually publishes the source on GitHub, where I can go and look and see how he builds it. But still, I should fork that, make it part of my repository so he doesn't advance and include some software I don't need, okay? Now, what does this actually do? Well, this is the entry point for Jenkins. I won't go into that. So it spins up a machine, which is the machine it's going to operate. It's going to have a simple web page. And it's we're actually going to provision it with Ansible just because. Well, we could just use apt-get nginx's in the repos. We're actually doing some bad practices here, so don't copy this. Come and talk to me, and I'll tell you how it should be done. And yeah, we're doing really simple stuff. So yeah, let's go. Well, let's trigger the pipeline. Let's do some code changes. Let's put the VM running. Let me just get, you know, you're not seeing this. Give me a second. I need to get a console up in there. So, bear with me a second. Okay. So traditional development, you'll live in VS Code. Now, I'm not going to use the shell here, but this is how you should do it so you don't lose too much time. You should spin up this and run what I'm going to run in the command line from here. But I'm not going to do that for this particular demo because the Hyper-V provider requires I have an administrative console, and I haven't solved that there. So, let's see. First thing I'm going to do is not launch Nginx on my machine because I'll have false positives, right? I could have a version that's not the same. So, I'll just check. Well, I've already got the machine up. It's already provisioned. So, most of the people know what Vagrant is, so I won't go too long into this. But I have a running environment which is similar to production. This is the idea, okay? And I'm using it in dev. Now, this is probably obvious for many of you, but this is running in Hyper-V, and I'm running CentOS, so the machine is provisioned. Let's just have a look at where it's actually at. And this is not the best way to do it, but it works. So I actually have an IP there. I've made it public. Again, I'm using Hyper-V. Let me just check what I'm doing. So I'm doing a web page development. There we go. Okay, this is a horrible page, but this is how I start. So, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to test my changes in this machine, and I'm going to start by doing functionality, if I find the mouse. So functionality would be something as simple as, I don't know, adding something here, adding a library that does some nice loading graph whenever I click a button. But for this example, I'll do something as simple as, well, where's the text? It should be here. There it is. I'll just do something like, I've changed it. Okay. Now notice that I'm actually using my file system and it's being transferred into the virtual machine, so these changes will be visible. Again, still in the dev pipeline, nothing about operation yet, okay? So let's reload the page, see what's happening. If all goes well, it should load. It's taking too long for my taste, but... Whoop. Could it be I have to reload? Let's see. Let's see what's happening. Live demos. Okay. I think I paused the computer, so this might have lost connectivity for some reason. So I'm going to shut down the VM really easily. And hopefully I'll have the environment running. Do I have the network? Okay. Live demos, what could go wrong? That could go wrong. It's blocking. Hey.
I guess it's not so graceful.
No, it's not very graceful. Maybe I need to force it. Whoop. Where is it? There it is. So let's kill the beast. Alexi, it's much, much better. Ruby. Wow. This is really, really slow. Something's not right. Something's out of whack. So this was supposed to be a simple example, but I'll just show what's happening. I'm actually going at 100% for some reason. Yeah, maybe it's PowerPoint. I think they have that solved. So let's see what's going on. I'll just reload it. Really like to get to the point where I actually try and change the machine provision. So, wow. Okay. So I'm doing it in another shell and it's working. So, trust me on that. So I've actually shut down the machine. Okay, pretty good. I thought this was going to be the quick part. I don't want to do that. I haven't done that in a while. I wouldn't want it to be today. They've got a lot better. Let's try and kill this guy. Yeah. Well, this is why it should be running on Jenkins, not on my machine. Yeah, why did I decide to do it on my machine? Okay, I'm not wrangling it.
Well, let's do it another way. Let's try something different.
Okay, so let's try something different. My machine might as well go for broke. Where is it? Let's do it from start. Okay. That's a good name. So, well, just one quick thing. There we go. And we should go for... So I'm going to try and start it from the beginning because that machine doesn't want anything with me. So let's just go and start it from the beginning. So, let's do this, yep, start a new machine. So, whilst I'm at this, I might as well say that the idea of showing you this is that Jenkins does exactly the same I'm doing on my machine. It will run the virtual machine before it actually tests the deploys, so it can just put it up and tear down. That's what I'm trying to do here. And it's, for some reason, it's not cooperating. Everything works fine when it's not in live mode. And there we go. Got a new one, 197. So, okay. Yeah, I've got it. This is because it's Samba mounts. This is another problem that's not fun. You can put the credentials in your Vagrant file so this doesn't happen. And you need that for the continuous delivery if you're doing it on Windows. I'm not going to do it in front of you because it's being filmed. So, yeah. So this is going to run Ansible. It's going to run the provision, okay? At the end of it, we're going to have a new environment. And then I'm going to carry on with the demo that I wanted to do. Hopefully. Okay. Wow, that's taking too long. No. So we're testing everything from scratch. It takes a while. And there it goes. Okay. So doing really simple stuff, ensuring that we have Pythons for security enhanced Linux. And yeah, everything went well with Ansible. So this is on 197 from what I can see. OK. Okay. So if a machine starts acting up, just use a new one. That should be it. Okay. There we go. And yeah, now I've got to change it. So I'm going to close. A man was right. I was in the wrong page because I was in a different source code. So I'm just going to close this and open it from here. That should do it. Oh, opened on this side. There we go. So let's see it happen this time. So. Okay. Whoa. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, let's just do it. Let's just do something. Let's just do it like that. Oh. Yeah. Ah, thank you. I'm with developers. So, yay! Wow, bloody hell. Sorry about that. Let's get to the part that's actually important. So, that's a new feature. And this is not the right window, so let's close it. That's a new feature, and I am now, it's kind of weird doing it like this, I'm just going to turn. So the new feature has been built, Git saying I've got something to commit, but before I commit it, I think, well, let's just do, yeah, that's too simple. I think I need to change something with engine, Nginx, and I think, yeah, I think the default configuration being removed is a bad idea, and I think that example is just, yeah, this is not needed anymore. I decided it. So traditional pipeline, what happens is there's not going to be a problem, right? And let's just say I'm wary enough that this might cause a problem, and I'm a developer, so I'm going to test it. And this isn't a real test. There are better ways to test it, but it will do for the demo. So I'll just do this. Okay? So I'm going to test the machine again. Now, does anybody know if there's going to be a problem? Any bets? Everything's going to go fine? Is there going to be a problem? What are your bets?
Well, at Q11, it won't do anything because the provision already run once. But when you are going to provision the environment in Jenkins, it's going to fail.
Hey, you've seen this talk. No, but there you go. It's absolutely right. I have a false positive in a way, because Ansible isn't a desired state configuration per se. Some modules are. Some of them you say file is absent or present. This is a problem. If you don't put this in your pipeline, developers will have false positives. I removed something. Let me show you. I reprovisioned the machine. Where is it? I reprovisioned the machine, and I'll still have my site running, which I can't get to for some reason. Where's my mouse? I'll just go like that. So I reprovisioned the machine. Hey, it's still there. Everything's fine. Well, let's just push. Right? That's how it should be. I'll just push to production. Everything is okay. My criteria met. I've run tests, which I didn't do here, but let's imagine I did. And let's just commit everything. So, everything should have an identifier. This is an issue in Jira. I won't show you that. It's too boring. Let's just push this guy through. Now, I've pushed this to production, and everything should be fine. So Jenkins is going to run. I've got an open PR, so it's actually going to, well, yeah, I've been failing builds for a while. But I've got an open PR. Let me remove this. This isn't doing anything here. This is an open source plugin that actually allows you to test whenever you want in Jenkins. It's really cool. It's the PR request builder. It's available for Bitbucket and for GitLab. And that's it, I think. So, yeah, I've pushed this. It should be here. So yeah, 40 seconds ago, it's now building. So what's it doing? It's I'm putting up a VM on Azure, okay? And this VM should also work because the VM is already there. It's not doing a rebuild in the build and test. But I've got a different bug, so it failed. Now in terms of pipeline, what should happen is, and this is the part that never goes right when you're doing it the live demo, is this should pass because it's got exactly the same problem. I've got this node that's up, right? This node is up. So it's basically the same as having my VM running and I reprovision. So it's going to pass. There's not going to be a problem there. So I needed to put a new job in, and that job is this one here, which is after you integrate to mainline, you have a clean deploy. So not to bore you too much, I'll show what it actually does by just doing it in the command line, which you could and should do on your own. So I had this machine. Everything was great when I ran provision. I'll destroy it. I'll just run it again. Actually, I should have, but yeah, could have done. No. So I'll just run it up again. And this time, provision won't fail, but I won't have a site up, which is very different because tests will keep passing because they're hitting a site that's there, even though the infrastructure doesn't put it up. I don't know if this was obvious or if I need to work on this a bit more. Okay. Yeah, that's basically my time, I think. As soon as it comes up, I'll show you. So, any time for quick questions or something like that? Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah, sorry, I didn't show that particularly well. I was dealing with other stuff. But yeah, the errors, this error here has got something to do with, oh God, I need to get there. It's got to do with the provision itself, okay? So I'll show it here. So yeah, full disclosure, there's a problem with the way Vagrant is installed in the machine itself. This should have been tested, it wasn't, okay? So actually failed at a very early stage. It's not a problem with the code itself. It's a problem with the provision of the machines. Now, this is reproducible. I'll just kill the Azure slave and make it run again. And it's going to be exactly the same error because it's being provisioned the same way. So I'll just kill this slave. I can do it. I've got a provision script. I've got Jenkins running it again whenever I test. So instead of pushing, let's just make it test again. Let's just do this. Test this, please. This is Bitbucket, so I'm not sending an explicit command to Jenkins. I'm just doing this. So it will detect this. It's a polling mechanism. It's not great, but works. And it will just run tests again for this commit that's already failed. Okay? I can do that on any commit, by the way. But that's the open source part of it. So I kill the agent. It says offline suspended. Now, a new job should be triggering, and it should be deploying a new template. And this is using Canonical template from Azure for the 1604 Ubuntu, which, again, I have no idea how it's built. Probably I didn't look well enough, but it's available as open source. I'm not sure it answered your question particularly. Okay. So there it goes, and it should be launching a new slave any moment now. Anyway, if anybody wants to see this and actually run it on your own, and the code is available, it's just go on GitHub, and we have it under our team at Fiercely. So give us your feedback. Put some pull requests up. So back to PowerPoint.
So, any more questions? I think everybody's hungry, wants to go and eat, right? Okay, thanks.